ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today, I've got a very special guest for you, Sam Rexford. Now, what we cover in this podcast is mainly about high-ticket affiliate marketing. We cover what he considers high-ticket and why he prefers doing high-ticket affiliate marketing over lower-ticket affiliate marketing, similar to, say, lower-priced Amazon products. We cover his strategies, his on-page strategies for ranking his product reviews, ways to help scale your rankings, and ways to help increase your conversions. We also dive a little bit into the topic of launch shacking. So essentially creating content before a product is launched to basically scoop up that initial traffic. We also cover some very awesome ways that you can find high ticket affiliate programs without searching the typical best high ticket affiliate program on Google, where you're going to get a list of the same stuff and with most of the people in those niches too, which become more saturated than something where you find yourself. And then finally, we touch on crypto. Now, Sam is pivoting slowly, I guess you could say, away from his digital marketing, affiliate marketing, and more towards that crypto side, something he's gone into heavily. So that might be of interest to a lot of listeners who are looking to break into a niche that is essentially booming right now. So enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast, Sam. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, man. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it. Been looking forward to this.
No problem. I've been following you on Twitter for a while now, so I thought I'd have to get you on. Just for people who aren't sure, or anyone who actually wants to follow Sam on Twitter, you can check out Sam Rexford on Twitter. He posts a lot of good stuff on the topics we're going to talk about today. But first, just for people who aren't familiar with you, can you give us a quick intro about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the marketing world for 10 years. So I guess I cut my teeth in startups and agencies. Was director of marketing at some Seattle startups and some different agencies. Had my own agency for a while, like doing B2B stuff. And so, you know, I came out of that world, like learning a lot of different marketing stuff. And I guess kind of ended up being like what they call like a full stack marketer. You know, I had gotten my feet wet in so many different avenues there. A lot of direct response stuff, building funnels, running traffic, a lot of SEO, site building, a lot of branding, pretty much doing it all, right? Like a lot of growth hacking stuff and startups. And yeah, like over the last few years, like I guess it was 2018 or 2017, I had sort of come off of one of my main gigs. I was director of marketing at a B2B agency out in Minneapolis. Great company, great people, but they kind of started going in different directions, like going more of a sales route, like a sales team route and less marketing stuff. So I kind of ended up like with some time on my hands, you know, and I had a little bit of savings and I was just like, What am I gonna do next? I was in that sort of moment of indecision or of like, you know, just sort of a pivotal moment. You know, I got to the point where I was like, man, I've been making tons of money for all these companies, like running traffic through funnels, making them tons of money. Why am I not doing this for myself, right? Like, that's kind of what kicked off my journey. So I started building a blog and started just like putting into practice all the stuff I'd done for other people. And slowly it turned into an affiliate site. That's my main site. I guess call it authority site, whatever you want, chillreptile.com. And it was kind of a lark at first. Like, I was just kind of like, you know, I'll start putting my thoughts down, like slowly start building some kind of brand. And then it took off, right? And traffic started coming in, started making sales. And that's when I was just like hooked. I was like, man, I can, I can do this full time. There's no reason for me to be doing this for other people. I can scale it to the moon. There's no ceiling here, right? So that's, that is really how I got into where I am now, which is just like, I don't know. I like to build websites. I like to build niche communities. I've been working on a YouTube channel in the crypto space, which you're aware of. And there's like a Discord community built around that. And I just love to build products for people. And I like to, you know, help solve people's problems. And that's kind of, I mean, I guess that's how SEO became a big deal for me, because it's a really easy channel to be really useful in, to really help people solve problems. I don't know, like, I know on Twitter, like, there's like the whole SEO Twitter thing and everybody's an SEO, right? But I honestly don't know if I consider myself an SEO. Like, it's a channel for me. It's a tactic for me. It's a way for me to get in front of the right people. But I think I consider myself more as just a marketer who likes to build products. It's kind of entrepreneurial, kind of likes to chase a lot of shiny objects, you know? And, yeah, like, it's we all do. A channel for me to get revenue, sales, and to like build audiences.
Nice. How many sites do you have currently working for you?
I currently have about 5 sites doing to various degrees of productivity. Some are a little bit lower ticket, but most of them are high ticket stuff. I have some sites that are more just built around newsletters and funnels and less around SEO and affiliate marketing. There's quite a few of them out there. Some are in various stages of disrepair. Some are less active than others.
Yeah, fair enough. But you touched on some are low ticket sites and some are more high ticket affiliate sites. So what would you consider as high ticket? Is it a monetary value for your commissions, or is there some other, I guess, categorization that you use?
Yep. Yeah, it's a good question. And I knew you'd be asking it. So I tried to think about it a little bit before I jumped on. And I guess the only true answer is that it's different for everybody and for every niche. So the stuff that I work on is primarily high ticket info product courses. So those are courses that range from $500 to $5,000. And in these product categories, the affiliate commissions are usually 30 to 50%. Like, that's very common. I know for a lot of affiliates, that's probably shocking, because they're used to, like, I don't know, Amazon maybe, or a lot of other smaller commissions. But you can get a sale for $1,000 and get a $500 commission, and not that much harder than a lot of other products. So for me, like, my range is $500 to all the way up to $2,000 commissions. And then, but from vertical to vertical, right? Like, category to category, all this stuff changes. I mean, I know people who consider high ticket to be $100,000 a year masterminds, or enterprise software, which there's a lot of affiliate programs for. You know, ActiveCampaign's a good example. There's people spending $5,000 a month on that, and the affiliates are doing 20% a month, you know. And there's affiliate programs in private jets. Like, that's pretty high ticket.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, like that, and cruise, like high ticket cruises and stuff like that too. So it seems to be a big wide range.
Yeah, so every different niche is different, but I think a good way to look at it in my mind is, like, if it's not a spontaneity buy, if it's not something that somebody can just go on the web and doesn't care about dropping $50 on, you know, then if they have to think about it, if they have to learn about it, if they have to go read reviews, it's starting to get in that higher ticket range. And the reason I say that is because you can sell low ticket without very much selling, right? Like, because if you're selling a $10 product, you don't have to sell that hard. People will buy that spontaneously. With high ticket stuff, you have to do a much better job of actually selling that product to the buyer, because there's so much more friction. There's so much more they have to think about. They have to think about Is it going to be the best investment for them? Is it going to really help them? Like, what is the ROI? You know, there's just like, there's a multitude of things they need to think of. So anything that starts to get in that range is that's the way I kind of look at it.
Do you see any difference in conversions with, say, a $2,000 offer versus the $500?
Yeah, it's all over the place, man. It's all over the board. Like, I have one product that I sell that's a $5,000. It's like a camp, like kind of like a boot camp almost. Like, it sells like hotcakes, man. Like, the conversion rate is crazy. You know, it's like out of 100 people that hit that review, like 3 are going to be buyers. And that's like insane compared to like a lot of low ticket stuff where you're talking about like sub 1% conversion rates. What matters, I think, the most is how targeted the traffic is. Like, if you can find those people who, like, your job is to find the people who are already on the fence, really. Like, they already want to buy it if you're an affiliate, and tip them over and get them to buy. So, honestly, it's something that comes up a lot. I don't think you have to do exponentially more work to sell high ticket. You definitely do have to do more work. Like, my reviews range in the 2,500 words to like 4,000 words. Every little detail, but we're talking about hours versus, you know, like, you know, a few extra hours of work for me ends up with astronomically more revenue, you know, than selling low ticket for me. So it's not a ton more work. It is more, but yeah, the conversion figures like vary based on how hot the traffic is, like how badly they want it. Are they at the bottom of the funnel? And then from there, like, where it really breaks is how good the funnel is of the product owner. Like, if it's a really tight funnel where you're sending the click, where you're sending the traffic, it can do very well. If it's a black hole, then, you know, all your efforts can go to waste.
I actually wanted to touch on some of your, because you mentioned a little bit about how your reviews are, you know, 2,500 to 4,000 words long. Mm-hmm. Just touch on some of your on-page strategies then. How are you setting out your reviews of these products that makes them, I guess, user-friendly to convert and helps you rank? And, you know, is there anything unique that you're doing there that maybe other affiliate websites aren't doing?
Yeah, I think primarily, and this may be coming from the fact that I don't view myself as an SEO necessarily. So I'm not looking, you know, I figured out that in order to sell anything, you really have to get inside somebody's head and you have to know exactly what they want. So I build my reviews around that. Like, I look at it as the complete sales funnel, right? Like, when somebody's buying a product that's $1,000 or $5,000 or more, they have a lot of questions. They have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of fear, right? There's a lot of stuff happening psychologically for them that you need to overcome if you want to get a sale. So when I build a review around a high ticket product, I cover the whole funnel, like the awareness, the middle of the funnel, the bottom of the funnel, everything from what it's about, who the owners are, the pricing, like the different pricing packages, and just go in depth so that if they can find every single thing they need to know from my page and not have to go bounce around to a bunch of other affiliates' pages to find what they're looking for, then I stand a much better chance of getting the sale. And just by doing that, you're already doing good SEO, right? Because you're giving, like, all Google cares about really is serving their customers or serving their users, right? So, like, they want you, the webmaster, to basically be able to create the best content and to answer questions the best, better than anybody else if they're going to rank your pages, right? So, you know, solving for search intent, sometimes I don't even think about that. I just give them everything they want, and that does it for me. You know what I mean? As far as tactics for converting more, was that part of your question?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, there definitely are. So number one, like, don't waste anybody's time, right? If they're on your page, like, give them the action right away, like at the top of the post. You don't want to force them to read everything if they don't need to. Some of these people are just looking for a quick boost. Like, give them the call to action as high as you can. Give it multiple times, like, throughout the page. Remember, like, basic conversion optimization, like the basics, right? Like, if somebody's scrolling through like a giant wall of text, give them that call to action, break it up as much as you can, and send them over to your link. And honestly, I don't even worry about how many times I pack that affiliate link in there. Like, I need it to give it to them every time they move down the fold, you know? Number two, I think the thing that separates me from a lot of affiliates running the same reviews, and this is something I learned from a lot of friends of mine, like Chris Fong, Iller Salehi, and some guys that I work with, some bloggers I work with, is to create a great bonus stack. So it's like an underrated strategy. So what I mean by that is, what's important here, right, is that you're essentially creating your own offer to help sell somebody else's offer. So when I sell let's say a blogging course, like I sell my friend Adam Infroy's blogging course, Blog Growth Engine, and he's got a great funnel. Those guys have a great product. So it almost sells itself. But in order to stand out from other affiliates, I've created an awesome offer around that. So if somebody buys through me, not only are they going to get Adam's course, they're also going to get my course on blogging, and they're going to get 30 days of free Facebook Messenger access. And actually, that's like my best bonus, honestly. And like the funny thing about that one is nobody takes me up on it. So I have like, I give them access to me, like whatever you want, 9 to 5 Pacific time, hit me up on Facebook Messenger. You have any questions about Adam's course, I've gone through it, I'll help you sort it out. And it's an awesome bonus because some people just want to know, right, that like there's somebody on the other side that can help them out if they need it. And they rarely take me up on it. I give them PDFs, I give them courses, I give them site building tools, anything I can think of. But the key is it has to actually add value to the offer that you're selling. So just, you know, a lot of affiliates just throw everything at the wall, like just this massive wall of bonuses. They're totally irrelevant. They have nothing to do with whatever. And they just make it look good, like the dollar value is high, like $20,000 worth of bonuses, right? But that's not the key. Like the key is like give them stuff that actually helps them get more from the product they're buying, or finish the product they're buying faster, or come out at the other end of that product with a better ROI, or like whatever it's going to be. So yeah, like a little bit of alpha to your listeners, man, the Facebook Messenger access is my best bonus. It's the most valuable one. And if people take me up on it, I'm happy to help them. But like people rarely do.
Did you create a new Facebook profile for that? Or is that your personal Facebook?
Yeah, just my personal one. And like, you know, coaching is huge, man. Like people love that. They love knowing that they can have access to you and they can get help when they need it. So, and I do value my time like very highly. So if somebody comes and gets help from me through that Messenger link, then I think it's worth it, you know, and it's a good value add, and I can help them and I'm happy to do it and they can get help, but they, you know, for the most part, they just want to know there's someone there.
Yeah. How are you delivering your bonus things? I know some high ticket affiliate programs, they let you like automatically, I guess, yeah, upload your bonuses and they can send them out. Do they all do that, or do some of them?
I wish more did, because it does make my life a lot easier. So some of them do where they will automatically deliver on affiliates bonuses. And so the way that I do it is I just have them listed on a Google Doc, like a live Google Doc that anybody with the link can view. And then I just have instructions for getting every one of their bonuses and deliver it that way. Otherwise, you have to tell them on the page, like, if you're buying this link through me, come back, contact me, verify that you purchased the product through me, and I'll get you all your bonuses. And that works fine. But yeah, it's just an additional step.
Yeah. With the on-page, so we cover a lot of the on-page stuff. There's, I guess you could say, a trend, or people are now looking into things like topical relevancy for ranking. So being able to cover essentially most or all of the topics within a certain niche to help you rank for whatever it is that you want to rank for. So you mentioned you're doing, say, X product review. Do you then still fill out, say, informational content? Say you're selling software funnel products. Are you writing info content about how to run a funnel, how to set up a funnel, et cetera, or are you just going straight review?
So yes, I do that for more competitive, I guess, niches. So like for software, like let's say, for example, selling ClickFunnels or something like that. Like there's so much competition, man. Like I think they have 60,000 affiliates, and I'm not even kidding, right? And like, so in order to fight through that noise, like, yeah, you have to do a lot. You have to do a lot more work. You have to signal to Google on a much higher level that you have competence in this subject matter for them to want to rank, right? So it does become like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of a scenario. Like build a ton of content to support your reviews. So you could have your main review as maybe the top of your silo. Then you could link to funnel templates blog post, like how to create your first, you know, you just go down deep and deep and deep into the weeds. But for a lot of the high ticket stuff that I, like courses, for example, there's actually not, there's not a ton of competition I found in a lot of those, which is ironic because they're high, they're big money niches. Like, you know, you get one sale, you get $500. That's like 50 sales for most like Amazon affiliates or something. I don't really know what the number is, but amazingly, there's not as much competition in a lot of these niches. And I think the reason is just not a lot of people know them. Not a lot of people know where to find them or how to find them. And you don't have to do as much of that. Like, I find that I can rank a review post on a new, I mean, and of course, everybody's site is different, like, right? Like, I've been working on my site for years. There's a good backlink profile, all this stuff. But I write a review about one product and then I move on, and I have no problems with that. And if I do, like if I struggle to rank in Google, then I might write some supportive stuff to kind of add some additional information around it.
Yeah. Is that product review style post still a viable strategy within high ticket? It seems like you're making it work now. Are there any other strategies that you have used or would recommend?
Yeah. So bottom of the funnel keywords are going to always win there, I think. And so because what you're looking for is, you're not necessarily looking to introduce people as the affiliate to these products. Although you can do that too, if you have a good nurturing strategy. Like if you have a good email list, if you're good at sending emails and writing emails, if you're good at copy, if you're good at getting people into your funnel and into your orbit, like whether it's into a community or onto an email list, then by all means, like nurture them from the top of the funnel all the way down, like get them into your orbit. But if you don't have that, right, if you're not doing that, you want to go after bottom of the funnel keywords. So that is any keyword where somebody is already looking, already has brand awareness. They already are on the fence. They're already thinking about it. They just need to be tipped over the edge. So that's like pricing guides, review keywords, buy any buyer related term. So I do XYZ product review, XYZ pricing, you know, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I do on the high ticket stuff right now. And it does very well. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the key from there too, is your content. So again, like, when I create a review, I do try to cover every aspect of that all the way through. I want them to learn everything with me and not go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think if the listeners listen to a previous episode, two or three episodes back with Ben Goldberg, he talks about how a lot of the content that's just not in-depth enough. It doesn't give you enough. It just kind of overviews maybe a listicle, but doesn't give the reader how to get there, why, et cetera, et cetera, all the information they need. So.
Yeah,
that's obviously a big way to rank.
And that does bring up a good point too, because as the affiliate, like, you do have to know how to sell, especially if it's high ticket. So call that persuasion tactics, call it whatever you want, but you do have to know what are the psychological triggers that are going to get them to buy this. And you have to bake that into your reviews. Now, I'm not saying to not be ethical, right? Like, ethics is also key in affiliate marketing. And the way that I work that is, look, I only try to sell products to people that I know are the right fit. So in all of my reviews, I make very sure, at least whenever I think it matters, I make a very strong point of like, this is who should be buying this product. It's this type of site owner who has this much revenue, who is ready to scale to the next level, right? And then I make sure to say, and this is who should not be buying this product. You're a beginner, you have no revenue, you're just starting out, you know, that kind of thing, right? Like, you want to make a strong case for who should be buying it and who shouldn't be buying it. And I mean, for first and foremost, just from an ethical standpoint, but secondly, because if you sell these products to just anybody, your refund rate is going to go through the roof, your relationship with the publisher is going to sour, and honestly, you're not going to be better off, you know? So learn to sell, but do it ethically, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, like, again, like with small ticket items, like anything under 50 or $100, like you don't have to go that deep with that. Like, people don't care. Like, they just want to know, should I buy it or not? You know, and they just go over and do it. It's fine. But with a $1,000 product, yeah, like people are like starting to think, well, that's going to eat into my Christmas budget or blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to make a strong case.
Yeah. I know one thing you did recently, I think you posted about it on Twitter, was getting quotes from other industry experts within your affiliate articles. How did you go about doing that? Is that something that you've done quite a bit or something you've kind of just started?
It's something I've done a couple times now. It was a lot more work than I hoped it would be. But yeah, it worked very well. So I used Help a Reporter Out, or Hero, people call it, I think. And I simply sent them a quote, or I sent out a request for a quote on Help a Reporter Out, asking for everybody's best, or let's see. So this post was the keyword was best affiliate marketing courses. So I was trying to, it was a listicle post. And so my request was basically like, can anybody out there tell me what they think is the best affiliate marketing course and why? Give me a quote. I'll add it to the review. So that worked really well because like third party peer proof is really helpful on a review. Like it really helps actually that people, when they're on that listicle, they see these different quotes like nested under each product I'm reviewing on that listicle from these different third parties, like, and these are real quotes. It's not just nonsense. You know, these are like real site owners who've gone through these courses, who have actually used these courses. So it's not just me, the affiliate, who's talking to them now. It's like 15 other experts who are saying, I like this course for this reason. So that was very helpful, but it was a lot more work than I was hoping. It ended up being like just sleuthing through like hundreds of requests and like finding the best ones. And I mean, I definitely recommend it, though, if you're building an authority site, because it, I mean, the best thing to me about Harrow is like the networking side of it. Like I gain, anytime I send out anything there, I gain really powerful relationships, and those can later on become a backlink or who knows, like, you know, a new affiliate relationship or whatever.
Have you used Harrow from the other side for your site as well?
Yeah. That's pretty much the only thing I do for backlinking, man. I know a lot of SEOs are going to be like, that's terrible. But like, that's pretty much all I do, man. Like, I don't have a lot of, I kind of hate link building. Like, it's not really my thing. I don't like sussing out all these little link building tactics and like trying to work them and trying to get that perfect link. So I started working on Harrow, like as a way to get backlinks and to have them come to me, because I was like, man, I'm so tired of trying to chase people down and like do this outreach. Like, I don't have time for it, right? And it started working really well for me, and I started getting killer backlinks, and they're mostly homepage links. You don't get a lot of deep links that way, but it's worked out really well for me, and I haven't looked back. It's free, and these are like, you know, like very high authority sites, and I've done a couple link exchanges, and I've even played around with buying links here and there, but like honestly, nothing has beat Harrow for me. So I just, I've even at one point, like I doubled down with it and I hired somebody to just do Harrow for me, like an Upwork writer, just try to scale it. And that had its own problems, but that's how much I appreciated it at the time.
Did you have to then, if you hired through Upwork, did you have to get an expert kind of in the same niche as you to do the Harrow queries? Or did you just have just any writer, kind of like almost like a Harrow specialist or someone like that?
Yeah, I kind of just used any writer and told them what I wanted and then just vetted everything they sent back. So here's the key to Harrow. Like, I'll tell you guys the alpha on Harrow. It's really not to be like you. If you're an expert, like, yeah, you're going to get better placements, and that is helpful. But the key that I found was to write the quotes like I would want something published on my site. So what I mean by that is like, is it engaging content? Is it fun? Does it sound like, does it match the tone of the website you're pitching? Like things like that. And if you can try to get in that writer's head and ask yourself what they would want published and just give them something valuable, give them something that's useful and is germane to the topic, and make it sound like something they would want read on their website. You know, I get 10 to 20% hit rate with that.
I wonder if doing what you did initially, where you're asking for quotes, might actually help you receive, and you can see what's actually good and what you want to publish, and then be able to reverse engineer that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because you mentioned as well that most of your links come to your homepage because it's mainly from Harrow. Then how is your site structured to take advantage of that? I went on your site a little while ago, and I saw that you have probably your most important post, I guess, then in your menu structure. Is that Yeah. Is that how you've kind of structured it to get the juice flow?
Yeah, because I am getting mostly like homepage links. I do get some deep links on Harrow. Like you can, if it's a pretty niche topic, like you can ask them for, you can always ask for a deeper link, right? Like a more, like a post or something like that. And I often get those, but it's definitely more common to get a homepage link. And so my strategy has always just been to like put my money posts where they're easy to find so that link juice just flows right away to them. And there's not a lot of, there's not too many steps that somebody has to find to get to those. So I guess you'd call it like a silo structure. Although to be honest, like, I don't know if I've done that very well. I don't know if I've executed on that very well.
So, since your site's doing very well in the affiliate space, then would you subscribe to the common thought now that people are saying that you need 80% info, 20% affiliate or whatever ratio it is to get basically knock your hit by Google?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, again, like I don't consider myself a SEO first. So there's a lot of guys out there that are way better with SEO, especially the technical side, who I really have a lot of respect for. For me, like, again, I look at it from like the user perspective, and I can't imagine that Google cares about that. Like, honest, like if I'm honest with myself, I think all they care about is their users and surfacing the right content to their users as fast as they can. So by that reasoning, I think it's possible that if you're just stuffing content on your sites, you're actually could be hurting yourself because you're just putting up stuff. You're just putting up stuff in the way of that primary goal, which is to like get the right content to the right user as fast as possible, give them the value. Like, you know, like I think that is that's an argument to be made. I don't know if it's true, but I have not found that any of these like strategies have ever worked for me. Like the only thing that ever really worked for me is like creating really strong content, better than anybody else in the SERP, like better than any of the other reviews, answering every question that a user might have about the product. And that's it. And I don't do a lot of backlinking back to those reviews or anything like that. And they some of them, they rank like that, like 24 hours, they're up.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's almost, I wouldn't say the secret, but the way, just because when you search any best of or best whatever affiliate articles and you see the content, it's like a list of 10 Amazon products and each product has two paragraphs about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess you, like, from an objective point of view, that would be thin content.
Yeah. And, you know, I just always ask myself, like, am I really, by putting out this review, like, am I really solving what somebody wants here? Or am I just trying to get the click and get the sale and like drive the revenue back to my bottom line, you know? And like, if the answer is I'm just trying to do an affiliate post and I'm not actually trying to, and I won't say like, I've never done that. You know what I mean? But like, it's easy to get trapped in the weeds, like, and just start creating content and just always be dumping it onto your site and like more and more and more, you know? But the ones that have done the best for me is when I took a step back and I was like, well, what do these people actually want out of buying this course or buying this? Like, what do they really, really want here? What are they trying to solve in their personal or professional life or whatever? And if I can figure that out, you're like, I'm already 10 steps ahead of all the other affiliates in the SERPs that are just like trying to do some redirect scheme where they're like, is this right for you? Well, actually, check out Wealthy Affiliate or whatever, you know, or they're just like trying to get the sale. That's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just copy and pasting the...
No shade on Wealthy Affiliate.
Yeah, just copy and pasting what they're given as an affiliate for signing up, you know, and essentially having duplicate content through there, nothing really new. Yeah. So I want to touch on, where do you find, if I was someone looking to get the high ticket affiliate marketing, where would I find the programs? Because if I search best high ticket affiliate marketing programs, I'm going to get the same 20 lists that everyone's posted. But that's probably got a lot of people already in it. So is there a way that I can navigate and find something that maybe a little less competition, maybe you know, away from the typical, say, software niche or anything like that?
Yeah, I'll give you a few tips. Like, number one is Facebook groups. So you, like, let's say you are building a site around, I don't know, interior decorating or something like that, right? Like, so you're going to go find a bunch of big interior decorating Facebook groups. And once you're in there, you'll start to see people talking about different courses or different products. And from there, you can go suss out whether or not they have an affiliate program. So niche forums, Facebook groups, and small communities, one of the best places because it's where the real chatter is happening about these products. So that's one of the places where I find them the quickest and totally by accident. Like you'll be in there and somebody will just be making a post about like, have you seen so-and-so's course? Has anybody used it? What do people think about it? And like, boom, you look at that and then you look in the comments and you're like, oh, cool. Now I have every question I need to answer like already right here. Then you go and you check it out and see if they have an affiliate program. And from there, the next step is like very important because you have to figure out if there's actually demand. And this is where I think like tools like Ahrefs and these tools will kind of let you down because some of these are very niche and they will have no competition. And so some of these bigger tools, they don't have any data on this stuff. And they might say something like, this is common for me, actually, like I'll go in, I'll check Ahrefs and it's like 30 searches a month. And I'm like, man, that seems pretty low. And then I put the post up, rank it, and then I'm getting like, you know, hundreds of visits a month, like easily. So a lot of this data is just not out there. But you have to, you know, you kind of have to do that groundwork yourself. Like you got to figure out if people really want it. If it's coming from if it's a course or something and it's an influencer's course, you know, go look at their social media pages. How many followers do they have? If they're somebody that has hundreds of thousands of followers, there's a pretty good chance people are out there searching for their products, you know? So just because you find a niche, cool, high-ticket product doesn't mean anybody's looking for it and wants to buy it. Like, that's number one. So the next place I would look is email lists. So get on everybody's email list you can in your niche. So it's be all these influencer guys, right? Like, you know, there's going to be a ton of them because a lot of these influencers are selling their own products or they're affiliates for other products. And you can build a swipe file, number one, just off of like subscribing to people's email lists. So you can see what they're selling and then you can see what the pitch is like right in their email list. And then from there, again, you can go do the research. And so I find a lot of them that way and you find them fast because a lot of big like JV affiliates, they have like the insider hookup. So they get approached by the product owner. They start to sell the product before anybody else. And they start to push out the promotions for these products. And that's where the SEO affiliate can do a ton of damage because that's where you can rank a post, launch jack whatever's being like. And this is something we can talk about too because launch jacking is like one of my favorite strategies around high ticket. You'll start to see a lot of influencers like starting to send out emails about a product or whatever, right? Figure out what it is, put up your review post and start siphoning off a lot of that traffic from the noise that they're kicking up with their email lists and their ads and everything. And you can do a lot of damage that way. And then other places are like, there's some aggregator sites. I find them to be hit or miss, like offervault.com is one. So OfferVault aggregates products from all these different affiliate networks. And they're everything from low ticket to high ticket. But like you can go on there, you could just do like a search like Bitcoin or something. And like, boom, you could pull up all these offers for, I don't know, Bitcoin courses or trading like Forex stuff or whatever. A lot of high ticket stuff. But it's very hit or miss. They're aggregators. The data can be bad or it can be old. So you do have to then go like, a lot of it's scammy stuff too, so you have to be very careful and like do a lot of research. But yeah, like honestly, just keeping your nose to the ground, like following YouTube influencers, being on their email lists, being in their Facebook groups, like that's where you're going to get the best information. Yeah,
man, I love that Facebook group idea. I never thought of that, especially with all the comments basically giving you everything to write.
Give you everything, man, and everything you can need, like, and that's another good tactic too for an affiliate. If you're about to do a review for a product, go into that product owner's group, figure out what the most common questions are, answer those in your review, because it's a good bet that these are sales related questions that other people have, other leads have.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on, you touched on launch jacking, and we're going to jump in there. I actually dove into a bit of launch jacking when I first got into a little bit of this when I was. Before I created my, I guess, my legit business sites, my legit SEO sites. And I launched a high ticket ClickBank offer. I made one sale and it was like $1,300 commission. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And then he refunded it 30 days later. So I lost that. but it is a very interesting way of even for someone to get started, because depending on how you do it, you may not even need an established website. So how have you gone down the launch jacking route?
Like everything, probably by accident. Like I think somebody, I can't remember what product it was, but like I knew the product owners and they told me they're launching a product and we could use a good like review in the SERPs to help us out. Like we'll give you access to the product. You can review it, like give us an unbiased review. So I did, and I put up the review like basically while the launch was happening and there was zero competition. Nobody else had done any posts. So Google is going to show your posts, like, because they, as soon as the searches start to kick up, like Google is like frantically looking for content to solve that search. So mine was the only one. They show that at the top. And, you know, once you hit that top spot, it's not super easy to knock you off, you know, especially if people are coming in to the SERPs with like lower quality content, you know. So, man, I put that up there and I kind of just like forgot about it and then like came back the next day and it was like, boom, 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 like sale, you know, and each one of these commissions was like $500 and I was like, damn, I think I'm onto something here. So ever since then, I've been looking for more and more of those. And like, there is some secrets to doing it right. Number one, again, like, don't even bother if there's no demand, because you can spend 5-10 hours on an awesome review and putting together your bonus stack and all this stuff and then like nothing, you know? So I only do it now when I know that whoever's putting out the product can kick up a lot of noise. They can get a lot of brand awareness quick. They have a massive email list or they have a massive social media following or whatever it may be. They have a ton of other JVs, you know, who are pushing it out to their email lists. If they don't have that, I'll probably wait. Like I probably won't do it and focus on something else. And then the second thing is get that bonus stack, get it up there like immediately. Like even if it's just a few things, you know, because like the second other reviews start to hit the SERPs and Google starts to like be like, which one's best? Which one am I going to really rank here? That's how you can stand out. Like that's how you can get the sale.
Nice. So where do you find these? I know there's some sites like MunchEye.com has all like aggregates all the launching digital products from like ClickBank things. Same site.
I don't do any of that. Just Facebook groups and email lists. I start to see people tease it. Like that's the key, man. Like I see people start to tease these courses they're selling. Oh, coming soon. We're doing this or blah, blah, blah. You know, I get that affiliate link. I write the review. They release the product. Boom, there's tons of traffic with no competition and my review's just sitting there ready to go. Yeah, as long as I can reasonably understand the product or even get access to it beforehand, I don't always, but I can usually reasonably assume that I know what's happening. I can talk to people, I can talk to the affiliate manager, I can get screenshots, whatever I can do. And again, sell it ethically, right? Like if I haven't owned a product and gone through it myself, I'm not going to claim that I have, you know what I mean? I'm going to do my best to be the reporter in that case. And so that's like an important distinction. Like I'm not somebody who bought this course. I'm the reporter. I'm not telling you that this is going to give you results. I'm telling you what's in it. Here's what I've found for you. Like here's some screenshots I was sent by the owner. This is what I'm pretty sure you're going to get out of it. Here's who I think it's best for. And that's it.
I did the same thing. So when I was launching, I did it on YouTube. Because it was easier to essentially rank for.
Yeah.
And I was essentially the reporter. I literally just did a screen record of myself scrolling through the sales page, talking about it, found some links about the company, some links about the people, and just talked about it that way. And I guess that's another way you can go about it without being that sleazy guy saying, I bought this and I made XXX.
I mean, here's the thing, man. Like, I know that there's a lot of affiliates who ascribe to the idea that you should only sell a product if you bought it yourself or own the product. And I think, honestly, I think it's nonsense. I'm somebody that has like 10 years of experience in blogging, marketing. I've gone through hundreds of these courses. If I know with certainty what's in it, I know who the product owners are and I trust them and I have a pretty good understanding of their business, their previous products, whatever, I can make a good case. I can be the reporter. I can simply tell what is in this that you're buying? And that's really all that's necessary. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to make the case that this is the best course. Like, don't even do that, right? Like, just be rational, be the observer, say what's in it. You don't have to make a big sales point in that case, right?
Yeah. I want to flip the script just a little bit here and start going to a little bit of the crypto niche. Now, so for those of you who are listening who wasn't or weren't quite sure what Sam was talking about when he mentioned that he's going to give you alpha about all these different things, this is some crypto slang now, essentially telling you he's going to give you some good stuff. So, we're going to touch into a little bit of crypto things next. Now, Sam is slowly, you should say, transitioning into this area, but still keeping that same area of affiliate marketing. So,
yeah.
So let us know what you've got going on in that space.
Again, like totally by accident, I fall into these things. Like, I think I've been in crypto for years, since 2017. So not like forever, but I had my first ICO rodeo in 2017 and like got exposure there. I bought some ICO that was happening, and I think I put $100 in it, and it did like a 200x like overnight. And I was just
only
like,
in crypto, eh?
What is this? Like, what is happening? You know, like, but I was such an amateur at it at the time that I wasn't even ready to sell. Like, I didn't even know where to sell it, or like, I had to go find the exchange it was on and then like do some KYC there. And like, by the time I figured it all out, like, that thing was already like bottoming out, you know. But that's how I caught the bug. I mean, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, where else can you get these kind of asymmetrical like opportunities, these massive returns with, you know, small investments or low effort? Like, definitely not blogging. A lot of effort, a lot of work to get the good returns. But so I think I was more just like amateur at that point, like, then got crushed by the bear market along with everybody else. And, you know, it's a tough space to be a content creator in, because it's so highly correlated with the market, right? Like, interest, views, and engagement just disappears as soon as the markets start to tank, because everybody's in pain. Like, their investments are going to hell. Like, they're not going to go watch YouTube videos or read blog posts. So being a content creator there can be a little bit tough, because it's very much tied to the market cycles. But coming back to this year, so like, the bull market kicked back up. I started putting attention back in. I was like a little bit more experienced this time around, started making some better bets and like learning about a lot of DeFi products. And then I just started one day, just started creating YouTube videos, and just kind of like terrible, like, screen share videos, like garbage, you know. Like, I was just like, ah, I found this product, this is cool, or this coin or whatever, you know. And like, because there was so much attention there and some of these products were so weird and niche in the DeFi world, they just like exploded. Like, they just took off. Like, I woke up and I was like, whoa, like, this had thousands of views. Like, I struggled to get more than like 100 views on YouTube before that, you know. And so I started creating more and more and more content. And then people started asking me to build a Discord community, which I did. It's Enter the Dungeon. So I know you're in there, and it's been a lot of fun. I think we got about 500 DeFi interested types, and, you know, we're going to build an NFT and we're going to do all the crypto stuff and have fun. And it's very, like, it's a very neutral space. I think that's what's key to me there. There's like not a lot of project fanboys who are freaking out about this or that, you know. It's a neutral space where people can get, like, they can get the alpha, they can get the, you know, they can get the drops for new products and not be pressured into like holding or selling or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, I guess it started out as being an amateur and an investor, and then like taking my love of being a content creator and applying it to crypto. And yeah, so I am slowly pivoting over to a lot of that stuff because I find it super fascinating. Like, it's such a crazy circus. Like, there's never a dull moment. There's never a dull day. Like, every day you're like, there's something insane happening, you know. And like, it's interesting in that world, where sometimes like the high ticket or the software affiliate world is just like, all right, creating another blog post about landing page builder or something, you know what I mean? It's not the same. So
I think one of the advantages as well in that space is there's obviously like 100 new projects launching every day. Mm-hmm. So there's probably going to be someone searching someone's searching for whatever it is. And if you've got the video on it, out of maybe there's only two other videos, you know, you're probably going to get that view as well.
And that's a key, man. That's a great point and a key point for SEOs too, is like, if you're new to this, right? Like, instead of going into a highly competitive niche where everything under the sun has been written or talked about, like credit cards or something like that, where you are just going to be slogging for years to do, get any kind of success, right? Like, go into a niche or a sub niche that is exploding, because you will be able to get success so much faster, and that will fuel your drive to keep going. So crypto is definitely like this for the exact reason you mentioned. Like, there's a new product every day, 100 new products every day, some of them with massive hype, massive communities, and nobody writing about them or reviewing them. So you can get traction very, very, very fast in these kind of markets.
How are you monetizing those videos then? If you say you're doing a screen share on some new projects, is it just exchange affiliates or?
So I am doing some affiliate stuff on there. Like, I think the only high ticket thing I've done on there is crypto domains. So that's through the domain provider there is called Unstoppable Domains. And that's a weird one because they're it's a range, right? Like, some domains somebody buys through them are like $20, but some are like thousands of dollars. So I've only sold a few of the bigger ticket ones. And like, I think I sold one that was a $2,000 domain. So my cut of that was like, I think $400 or $500. So that was cool. So those are, and again, like, those were so much easier to create than the reviews and to rank them and to start earning on them. Like, honestly, it was crazy. Like, I was like, man, why haven't I been doing this forever? Like, but I follow basically the same guidelines as opposed, I don't do the bonuses with videos, but I try to cover the whole funnel for people, pricing, features, like everything, you know, and that works very well. As far as other monetization goes, I just got approved by YouTube like a few weeks ago to monetize the channel, but that's a trickle for me right now. You know, it's a couple $100 a month. So that's not much, but I could see it kind of slowly growing something that could be cool, like down the road. So affiliate products, YouTube ad rev, and then eventually what I think would be fun would be to launch some courses in the community. And, you know, as long as they are courses that people want and add value. And then, of course, we are turning that community into a place where some projects are being launched. There's an NFT project in the works, so there's revenue potential there. There are sponsorships coming in for me, but I have not done any yet. So one thing I'm very careful of in that space is doing paid sponsorships. So this can go so wrong so fast. If you've been on crypto Twitter, like, you'll see that this goes wrong for YouTubers like very easily. And I think, like, more importantly, if you're creating videos around insanely risky projects, having an undisclosed financial relationship there is just like, it's so wrong on so many levels, and it's so bad. So I have not done any sponsorships yet. I have one that's potentially in the works. But one thing that I've done there is in my community, in my Discord community, I've given all the user or all the members in there the opportunity to vote on whether or not I do any kind of sponsorship. So I will go to them if somebody's approached me and say, hey, here's the project. Go do some KYC on it, learn about it a little bit. And if you, what do you guys think? Give me a yes or no vote if I should move forward with them. And that has, I think, been really valuable because, for one, it gives them the buy-in on what I'm doing. And, you know, they're kind of creating community around it, so they feel like tied to that a little bit. And for another, it gives me an opportunity to kind of step back from any sponsorship and be like, what's really happening here? Can other people get their eyes on this? Is this good or not? And so that, I think it's key in that space, like in any of the financial spaces, for sure. Like, you know, disclose any kind of relationship, be very careful about them.
I have a couple of questions on this. One, would you ever think about blogging in the crypto space for traffic, or would you only stick to YouTube? And two, do you think Discord communities, even though Discord's kind of almost synonymous with crypto now, do you think a Discord community would work with other niches?
Yeah, I do think so. So on the blogging topic first, yes, I am. I'm actually pivoting my main site towards like starting to open up new content silos there. Crypto, finance, precious metals. So precious metals, I don't know if So this is like very, very, very high ticket and very lucrative. You know, anywhere from $20,000 to $1 million deals. So your commissions can be massive there. And I have a few close friends who are big in the precious metals affiliate space. So I'm going to be opening up some silos there on the site for that and for crypto and DeFi, and try to kind of like take my main site and start to expand it and scale it into some different content topics. And I know that that's some SEOs frown on that because they're like, keep it to your niche or whatever, but I don't see that necessarily. So the answer there is yes. As far as Discord, I think it's the best. It's kind of a mess. Like, it's messy in there, and sometimes it's hard. It took me a while to figure it out, but it is a way better community building tool than Facebook groups or some of these other products. Like, you can organize information much better. You can get people excited much easier. You have a lot less restrictions from the algorithm. Like, there's no algorithm trying to squeeze your content and show it to some people and not other people. Mm. You can separate people in there very easily. So if your goal is to monetize, it's pretty easy to you know, silo people into different channels if you want, like some people who are paying you versus other people. And I don't have a specific plan to do that specifically in there. I mean, I leave my options open, but I think it's, yeah, imagine like Slack with Twitch jammed onto it or something. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a good, yeah. It's a mess, but it's an awesome place to build a community. So I think that like the audience skews heavily towards the game, like gamer audiences, crypto audiences, anime audiences, but there's opportunity to build any community in there.
Yeah. I asked that question because the first time I got into Discord, I was like, what the, like, everything was everywhere. I couldn't figure out what the hell's going on. The layout's all funny. I guess once you get used to it, but I guess if you're running a site, for example, in maybe retirement living, you're probably not going to have a Discord community.
Yeah, you know, like, it's probably harder to get people in there for sure. In that case, maybe you just want to do Facebook or something. But man, like, I've tried to build communities on Facebook and like, it's just been such a pain. Like, you put up some great content, only like a certain percentage of your audience sees it. You know, there's a ton of restrictions, and Discord for the most part seems to just let people do what they want in there. Like, in reason, obviously, but like, they, it's a little bit more of the Wild West in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I found with Facebook groups too, like, it's hard to get anyone to click on links as well. And then to even convert, because like, even if you sticky something to the top, not everyone's going to see it. You post, it's all based on engagement within the group, whether Facebook's going to push it out to everyone in the group, you know? So it makes it difficult.
Discord's the opposite. Like, anything goes.
Yeah, exactly. Anything goes. Rug pulls, moon shoots, all of it.
Yeah. It gets, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, I will say that, but for the right person building a certain type of community, it's awesome.
Awesome. Now, this has been great, Sam. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
Before we sign off, do you want to plug any of your social media or anything like that?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter. It's just Sam Rexford. If you want to find me on YouTube, it's the same. Just do a search. I do a lot of crypto stuff on there. If you go that route, you can find the link to our Discord. And if you're interested in crypto stuff, hop in there. I think it's an awesome community for people interested in DeFi, crypto, NFTs, like, just getting started. Like, it's a pretty unbiased, pretty neutral ground community. You can find my main site, like my main docs site, at chillreptile.com. I know it's kind of a silly name, but like, actually that's pretty well. People remember it and they find it again very easily. And yeah, come into the Discord, say hi. Everybody's very active in there. You're very active in there. I think it's a pretty good community. And
yeah,
absolutely. I'm all over the place.
Perfect. Thanks for coming on, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.